Hi, you're listening to iiPod, the official podcast of the Duke Lemur Center in Durham, North Carolina.
I'm Matt Bortz, curator of fossils at the Duke Lemur Center.
And I'm Megan McGrath, education programs manager at the Duke Lemur Center. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Megan. Today on iiPod, we are talking by Zoom to a Malagasy paleontologist who says that the fossils she studies tell the story of her country.
Welcome to iiPod. If you could start with, what is your name?
My name is Nurmami Radaharivo.
Dr. Nurmami Radaharivo is on the faculty of the University of Antananarivo in the capital of Madagascar.
I teach at the university. I advise students in their research.
Nurmami leads a vertebrate paleontology lab at the university.
Well, Nurmami has been in Antananarivo for about 20 years. She grew up in Majunga province in northwestern Madagascar. In Majunga, Nurmami was surrounded by the sea and sand when she was growing up. The province is also home to Majungasaurus, a T-Rex-like apex dinosaur. It chomped through Madagascar 66 million years ago alongside long-necked Rapetosaurus and the raptor-like Mexicasaurus. When she was about 12,
I heard from my father that there is dinosaurs in the rift. I was immediately very fascinated, so I decided to learn more about it, to make sure that they exist really.
Nurmami began her studies at the University of Majunga and then transferred to the University of Antananarivo.
To continue to learn about fossils.
So it sounds like this all started with your dad telling you something that sounded too wild to be true. So you had to investigate and find out for yourself if it was true.
Yes.
I think that's a universal experience across cultures, is dads telling you tall tales and you having to find out what's true and what was just something he thought was funny to tell you.
Yes.
Nurmami began collecting fossils in 2008 when she was still at the University of Majunga. The students went to a cave to do some digging.
So maybe I'm lucky because I am the only one who find a femur.
That's wonderful. That's the dream, really.
Maybe.
Finding that femur, a femur that belonged to an extinct giant lemur called Pachylemur. More about Pachylemur in a minute. Fueled Nurmami's curiosity about paleontology.
What I like most about paleontological studies is, first of all, discovering the existence of animals that have lived on Earth, or especially in my country, in the past, and then studying anatomy, behavior, and finally ecology. It might sound crazy, but I feel like I'm writing the history of my country based on paleontological studies.
That doesn't sound crazy to me at all, especially because for so long in Madagascar, there were no humans there, right? So for many, many thousands of years and millions of years, there was only these other creatures that you're studying. So it makes sense you would write Madagascar, the island and the land's history with their bones and what you find from them long before people got there, right?
That's a beautiful way to put it, is to be writing the history of the country. So you mentioned the research project. Could you tell us how you became involved in that project?
I've been involved in the Tumana Pista project since 2014.
The Simanputsuts project is named for the national park where an international collaboration of researchers, including friend of iiPod from the Ringtail season, Dr. Lori Godfrey, have been working for more than a decade.
Simanputsuts National Park is in southwest Madagascar, where we have the spiny forest habitat. The limestone underneath the spiny forest has many caves. Over time, plants, animal, and sediments are deposited in these caves, which shows the ecological record of the spiny forest.
It looks like a lot of rock with the succulent forests and grasses.
There are lots of reptiles, birds, and aquatic animals in the park, as well as the lemurs. But for Nuramami, the focus is on the fossils. And the fossils in particular that we are thinking about this season are those from a larger, extinct relative of the ruffed lemur, the pachylemur.
Pachylemur had a lot of similarities with ruffed lemurs in their teeth and skeletons, but they were about 3 times bigger than ruffed lemurs. Based on fossil evidence, we think Pachylemur only went extinct in the last 500 years. So all of the giant lemurs like Pachylemur were living side by side with the lemurs we see in Madagascar today.
Pachylemurs is a subfossil lemur belonging to the Lemuridae family, which currently includes Pharesia, lemur, prolemur, hapalemur, and elemur. It is relatively close to Pharesia, and some studies prove that Pachylemur and Pharesia are indeed sister taxa. These lemurs have been found all over Madagascar, not only in the southwest, but also in the north, in the northwest, in the central highland, and the central south.
Pachylemur is kind of like a giant ruffed lemur, but ruffed lemurs only live in the rainforest in western Madagascar. We have found Pachylemur bones all over the island, so they were not limited to just one area.
So then in thinking about Pachylemur and its amazing distribution, what do we know about the ecological role, the ecological niche of Pachylemur when it was alive? Was it similar to Varicia, a fruit-eating animal living in the forest, or do we think it was a little bit different?
Pachylemur occupied different ecological niches depending on where it was found in the island. Given that Madagascar presents different microclimates, which depend on each ecoregion. They are those that lived in drier, warmer areas, and those discovered in wetter, cooler areas. Pachylemur survived until at least 2,000 years ago, which was drier period than today. Does it mean less than 300 millimeters of annual precipitation on average, and preferred fruits from large trees. So he probably would have found the large trees like ficus and tamarindus. He could have used them not only for food, but also for sleeping. But the niche was different because there was a higher representation of succulent plants and grasses vegetation at Manabi.
So even though your study area in Tsimenanpetsuts is a pretty dry area today, you're saying Pachylemur was living through an even drier period with extremely low rainfall and different vegetation, like more succulents and grasses. But then there's also this evidence of Pachylemur living in other areas or time periods with higher rainfall too.
That's really fascinating. As far as to have an animal that went extinct that seems to have had more of an ability to live in more places, and yet it went extinct. Mm-hmm. Varicia seems much more restricted, even in the fossil record. We don't find it everywhere, and yet it survives. Is really amazing. And I think that actually leads into another animal that you studied that also is a animal found in lots of places, which is archaeolemur. Your dissertation focused on archaeolemur.
This is the most terrestrial of all extinct lemurs. All length elements are relatively short, including the hands and the feet. Pachylemur has been discovered in almost all parts of Madagascar.
At the Duke Lemur Center Museum of Natural History, we have dozens of specimens of this extinct giant lemur. Archaeolemur means ancient lemur, even though it only went extinct a few centuries ago in Madagascar. So It's old, sure, but it's no more ancient than a medieval castle or the arrival of Europeans in North America. Like other extinct lemurs, Archaeolemur lived alongside modern species of lemur. Its neighbors included things like fully modern, very recognizable creatures like ring-tailed lemurs.
Right, so it's basically like Archaeolemur just got unlucky, and they were the ones that went extinct, but we still have animals like ring-tailed lemurs running around today. But isn't Archaeolemur also known as the monkey lemur? But we don't have monkeys on Madagascar, do we? What's the deal with the name?
Monkey lemurs have a few interesting traits that they share with monkeys. Compared to other lemurs, Archaeolemur has a large brain. It also has a short snout. When we look at the skull of Archaeolemur, it looks a little like a monkey's skull. Archaeolemur also does not have a tooth comb.
That's a little wild, right? Because like, okay, eyes are the exception. We know they're the exception, but isn't having a tooth comb like a big part of being a lemur?
Yeah, and we harped on this in our introductory episode about what a lemur is. And like a tooth comb is, it's a weird set of teeth. Like it's, lemurs like genuinely have like their teeth like poking out straight in front of their faces. And so what Archaeolemur has done is kind of like reined in its lower teeth. So now it's like lower incisors, its front teeth, are actually clipping against its upper teeth. That doesn't seem all that weird to us because that's what our teeth do, but it's not what a ruffed lemur does or a ring-tailed lemur does. And we actually have some research that shows this kind of clipping front teeth were really useful for eating really tough foods for these animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, the loss of a tooth comb appears to be a dental adaptation to eating very hard things like seed. Another adaptation is eating tough food might be that their lower jaw bones are fused.
In all other lemurs, the lower jaw is two separate bones that have soft tissue connecting them at the chin. It's called an unfused synthesis. When we find other lemur jaw fossils, we usually just find a right or a left side of the jaw. But in monkeys and apes, they have a fused symphysis, which means the two halves of the lower jaw are connected by bone, just like an archaeolemur, which could be an adaptation for eating hard foods in monkeys and apes.
So that's why Archaeolemur is also called the monkey lemur, because it has some adaptation in common with both groups of primates.
Okay, the name kind of makes sense now, and Madagascar is full of weird stuff.
So Normami, looking at the length of leg bones and other parts of Archaeolemur anatomy, you and other researchers have concluded that the omnivorous Archaeolemur was on the ground more than living strepsirrhines and other lemurs, but not as much as baboons or primates that specialize in moving on the ground.
Are you currently studying Pachylemur? Is that one of the projects?
Yes.
There's so much material from the cave. It's staggering to think how much work that is to try to put together the biology of this animal. And then when it comes to the living animals, do you have a favorite living lemur?
Yes, I like all the living lemur, but I don't know, I'm fascinated about Galidia.
Oh. Not even a lemur.
Yes, Galidia elegans. Yay for carnivores. They're more commonly known as the ring-tailed vansura or ring-tailed mongoose, even though they're technically not a mongoose, but they sure do look like them. That's a beautiful animal.
And it lives in the national park. And so that's convenient.
Yes.
You get to work with one of your favorite Malagasy animals. Thank you. This is really a wonderful conversation. I learned a lot.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful to meet you.
It was nice to meet you too.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of iiPod.
This podcast is brought to you ad-free by the Duke Lemur Center.
If you'd like to learn more about the Duke Lemur Center's work in research, education, and conservation, or even schedule a visit to see the lemurs
or the fossils
in Durham, North Carolina, go to lemur.duke.edu.
All that we do here at the Lemur Center is only possible with donor support. If you'd like to support us, you can visit lemur.duke.edu/donate. And with that, thanks for Matt
and Megan
and all the primates at the Duke Lemur Center.